Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
You know your business better than anyone. So when you need finance to grow, you deserve a lender who understands too. Responsible finance providers look at the whole picture, the story behind the numbers, your plan and what you want to achieve. Our fair, flexible finance, decided by real people, not a computer, helps thousands of businesses every year. Find out more at findingfinance.org.uk. Finding Finance is a trading style of the Community Development Finance Association, which is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. A regulated credit broker and not a lender. We provide information only in respect of community development finance institutions and other finance providers, which may be available to you from our approved panel of lenders. Finding Finance. .org.uk.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Hi, I'm Eddie Grant, and you're listening to Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
Yeah, this is the poet Benjamin Zephaniah coming down your radio wire, and you are listening to Sheffield Live on 93.2 FM.
One two, how's it going? This is Shlomo. You're listening to Sheffield Live.
Yeah, people out there, so Sheffieldites, you know, wherever you're there, Yorkshireites, Rotherhamites, Doncasterites, yeah, all this. You listen to Sweet Talking Sport, yeah? Nothing like the old school. Yeah, Sweet Talking Sport, straight to the point, chat show that deals with the latest sports news and stories with both interviews and join the audience that fit today's modern day society, devoted entirely to discussion on sporting events, whether local or international. Good to go, expansive debate analysed by CV and myself this evening as part of the regular programming. Probably Yorkshire's best talking sports radio show you'll ever hear. On point. Listen live on Friday 6 till 7 GM time, of course. You know? Or you can catch it up on the archives. Swear, sir, CV.
Yeah. Feeling a little better. Out of 100%, I'd say I'm about 80 now. So feeling a little better.
That sound good to me, that. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because there's a lot of stuff going around, isn't there, really?
There is, yeah. Especially.
I mean, I've got a little something as well.
Yeah, I know.
In that menage here with you, you know? Mm-hmm. I feel it, so.
Yeah. I understand that.
And greetings to G, you know, me saying just have to take care of a few things behind the scenes.
Yeah. He's doing the right thing.
Yeah, man. Okay, you know, without further ado, I hope nobody's listening, but if you are, you know, and you're not partial, or you think this show isn't complete, I'll give you a few seconds to leave now. Right. So all them people there or there, you know, just kind of enjoy the ride. So I want to start off with just Warlock. Yeah, I want to start off with you might be aware of this guy, Stuart Ogg. Can you remember him?
Nah.
You'll have seen him kind of play all heap of times, yeah? Former Scotland Rugby Union captain.
Okay.
Yeah. Has been stripped of his MBE, believe it or not.
Then take it off him. All right. Why?
Well, what happened is that he had a little bit of kind of, you could say, little domestic things with his estranged wife.
Okay, Gillian. Okay.
Yeah? And he was charged, you know, pleaded guilty to domestic abuse, you know, against, you know, Gillian.
All right.
Which kind of led to give him a 1-year community payback order, yeah? So,
wow,
with this kind of like, with this kind of like order, he gets stripped of
his MBE,
yeah. Which must be kind of embarrassing for the dude, you know. He had been given the MBE back in 2024, mm-hmm. New Year's Honours List for his services to rugby.
Right.
You know. But then, you know, the former Glasgow Warrior fullback, you know, got like Willipa caps as well for
the Lions.
For Scotland, yeah.
Yeah.
British Lions also as well. He now plays for Montpellier, and remains one of Scotland's all-time leading try scorers.
So that, yep, in France then, Montpellier.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, you know, after he admitted shouting and swearing and acting in an abusive manner towards his estranged wife, there were calls to strip him of his honour. So, according to the reports, there's been nothing physical. It's just, you know,
verbal.
Just a rant. You know what I mean?
So,
yeah, but, you know, so whether there's a little bit more of that, not quite sure, but it seems, let me say, it seems a bit, if it's just verbal, you know what I mean? A verbal spat, do you think the right to strip him of the MBE? I mean, yeah.
Well, it's verbal, isn't it? It's coming like verbal abuse, isn't it, towards his wife or ex-wife?
Estranged wife, yeah.
Right. I don't really think, man, I just want to find out whether it was his wife or whether it is or not,
mm-hmm.
The fact is, if he's being verbal towards her,
mm-hmm.
Right, that's an aggression, isn't it? That's an aggression, isn't it? If he's verbal,
it's
verbal.
Yeah. But yeah, it's verbal. But is it also a bit of domestic stuff in the back? Because I'm sure, if say on a road where I live, if somebody said, oh, you know, them at number 38,
right,
we're hearing a load of abuse,
yeah.
They'd probably say, well, that's a domestic. We don't deal with domestic.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? And I'm thinking,
but you know,
when is it domestic and when is it?
Yeah, but
when is it like a criminal charge?
Sometimes your domestics lead to them, those kind of things.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I accept
and
that.
Sometimes the domestics, as on the female side, they take it,
mm-hmm.
because they can't really do anything about it.
True.
Right, and we know plenty. I know, right near me, where there's been and in the ending, the female died.
Wow,
the female died,
mm-hmm.
and they said, oh, it's just domestics. So yeah, I do. Yeah, I think yeah, take it off him. That's my opinion. Yeah, take it off him. Yeah, take it off him, because for me, verbal, physical, it don't matter. The fact is, right, you are putting that female, she's in fear.
So basically saying that she's at risk.
She's at risk, yeah.
And I suppose, I mean, we just know that there's been
we don't know the full details.
But we don't know what.
Yeah.
Our come out of him mouth.
Our abuse. You don't know whether him said this or him said that or whatever.
Like, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
Which could lead to a murder charge.
It could do.
And facing out 15 to 20 years.
It could do.
In the big yard.
Yeah. So it could do. Yeah. So in my case, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Take it off him.
Hey.
So for me, any what we call verbal abuse, physical abuse, anywhere, and I'm talking both sides now, you know, because you've got a lot of men that are who get physically abused, but because of the stigma, right? So, you're gonna dump you up.
Because it's safe houses for men.
Yes, what I'm saying.
Who get, you know, couple of, you know, hooks from
half of them and
exchange misses and that.
Them stab them in them and with fork
and don't forget the heel too.
Yeah, that's what.
Yeah, them take off them shoe and just give them the heel.
And what happens is he don't really talk it out. Because of the stigma.
Yeah.
Because you can't really go out a road and say, oh.
But you have to protect them still. You have to protect them man there, you know. Because some of them live in fear, you know.
That's what I'm saying. Because that's what I'm saying to you. Because of the stigma, he can't go out a road and say to him, yo.
Embrethering them.
My girl box me up last. No. It's not.
Why?
Jesus, it's not Christ. Funny, you know what I mean? But
he
can't say them thing there because he knows man are gonna say your girl backs you up in her face and you know I do nothing.
You'll be saying you hear about Stuart.
Nah,
what do you mean Stuart? What I'm to him?
You know
what go on now?
So you can't.
You're gonna say you about Gillian? What him do to Stuart?
Gillian
could be a bad thing, you know.
Yeah.
Could be a bad thing. Yeah, if you've just tuned in, just rocked up, you know, just locked in, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, we're here on Sweet Talking Sport. I've got CV with me. We're talking about Stuart Hogg, the 33-year-old former Scotland international, you know, and he's the rugby union man, which is, you know, the difference from league. Obviously, union is unlimited tackles, possession is indefinitely, not like, you know, the rugby league, six tackles and then you get a scrum, and then after the scrum you're awarded, you know, certain things, like you know you get your knock on and, you know, stuff like that. But former Scotland man Hogg held the MBE, which is, you know, the member of order of the British Empire. You know, it's supposed to be kind of like an honorary award for outstanding service. Well, you know, he's been a bit of a naughty lad, and his MBE has been cancelled or annulled, so them say. So, you know, it's about bringing the system into disrepute. Yeah, so he's such as like he's you know, committed a crime. Yeah. And like CV say, must give it them back, you know? So, I mean, what happens when you have to give your MBE back? It gets erased from the register, like say you never owned it in the first place. Forfeiture committee, they advise Charles and say, yo, we've got an issue here, yeah? We recommend that you make the decision. So Charles is the final decision maker, and it's up to him whether he must say give it back. You know what I mean? If you just kind of like think about this,
If he now gives it, has to give it back,
yeah,
and say you was in line for an MBE,
yeah,
they might say, you know that one what we took off Hog the other day,
yeah,
just give it CV. You know what I mean? You know, you'd have thought that from when they cancel it,
it's cancelled. Yeah,
but whether it's a shame thing, you have to bring it back. You know what I mean? In what first class post recorded delivery. Because you can't imagine Hog's just going to turn up and just,
yeah,
I've come to bring it back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, why? Wow. So, you know, like we said about this, we don't know what verbals came out of his mouth. But the fact is that he's got to hand it over, get stripped from it, you know? It's could be seen as a bit of embarrassment, really. You know what I mean? On part of Hog. But there you go. Friday, the 6th of March, you know? And it's 18:16. Listen to Sweet Talking Sport. I've got CV. We're live and direct in Addy studio, so, you know? You know, I want to flip it now, and I want to... Got an interesting kind of little gap here to fill. You know, no UK government minister, right, is to attend the paraplegic ceremonies, right? And, you know, so no officials will be attending the winter paraplegics opening or closing ceremonies. You know, after the Russian and Belarus athletes were invited to compete under their national flag. So you got 6 athletes from Russia and 4 from Belarus will be directly representing their countries, respectively, rather than competing as neutrals, as they've done in the past. This will mark the first time a Russian flag has been flown at paraplegic games since 2014, with sanctions previously imposed firstly because of a state-sponsored doping program and then because of the 2022 invasion of Ukraine. So last year, the International Paraplegic Committee, IPC, lifted this partial ban on athletes from 2 countries competing at the games. The government spokesman said, "We strongly oppose the decision of the International Paralympic Committee to allow Russian and Belarus athletes to compete under their own flags at the Milan Cortina 2026 Paralympic Winter Games." So, what had happened was, Well, why all the fuss? Why all the noise? Obviously, it was about the juice, you know, about, you know, the doping and all that kind of stuff. So, Russia got banned in the Paralympic Games 2016. They received, what, 18-month ban. And that was over the sponsoring doping program. Russia was at it again back in 2022. With also Belarus. Both bans have been reversed now. So, you know, the blanket ban imposed on Russia and Belarus, you know, was back in 22. Like I said, it was reduced a part of a ban in 2023, allowing athletes from the 2 nations to compete as neutrals at the 2024 Paris Paraplegics. So it all kicked off again because of the doping, you know what I mean? And people thinking, well, why should they, you know, be let back in, you know? But I'm a kind of firm believer that, you know, if they've done the time, if they've served it, you know what I mean? But obviously it's kind of like... kind of politics as well, like a bit political as well, really, you know what I mean, for not to send any representatives.
It is definitely, you know, it's political, I mean? Definitely, you know? Obviously Belarus and Russia are very close,
see it there,
because for them is it Prime Minister? President or whatever. Is it Prime Minister? Yeah. He's like wrap up with my man, Putin. Wrap up with him, man.
So it's like a giant thing.
Yeah.
The countries won't be sending any kind of representatives, you know. There's a bit of a hit list out here, really. I mean, you've got Czech Republic, Estonia, Finland, Latvia in April, Lithuania, Poland, Ukraine, yeah? I've all said they will not be sending athletes or officials, you know, this evening quite start to deer. You know what I mean? And then people say, oh, you know, you don't mix politics with sport, but I don't think the system allows that to separate, because there's always something coming in, you know, whether it's like in the Winter Olympics, whether it's a competitor who's got flag pan him, helmet and all them something there, which we've discussed on the show before. There's always something political going around what will interfere with certain things, you know. So I don't think you can leave politics out of sport.
Not really, because you know, because
not in this current climate.
No, not at all. Because obviously, whatever's going on, obviously, it's connected, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So you can't really say, I agree with this or whatever. At the end of the day, they're all connected, man.
Mm-hmm. 100%, you know?
Because in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got Iran, you've got all the neighbouring countries. Then some of them might say, well, we now participate because Iran's in it.
Yeah.
What I'm saying? Yeah. You've got Bahrain.
I hear that.
You've got Dubois. You've got all them players there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They might just say, well, you know what? We're not going to deal with it because they're in it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's difficult. Then it becomes like a choice, isn't it?
Because that's right.
Some of them will think, because some of them will get, they'll be insensitive. They'll get a little peer. And that might see them nice for a month or two. And if they have family and Pitney here and Pitney there, do you know what I mean? Where they have to feed.
Mm.
So you can understand that. And then some of the other colleagues might decide to boycott it and cause a little, you know, provocation.
There you go.
Or pork the beer, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so it just depends, you know, on where they're at this moment in time, yeah? But I want to just kind of like go on to a little bit of UFC for a little bit. Do you know what I mean? And just seeing extraordinary. Kind of like events. Let's see if I can just get this up quick time, you know. Wow. I'm sure I can, yeah.
I got knocked out cold in the very last second. What happened next instant? Knockouts in UFC history. Rodriguez is pure creativity. His style is built on movement, unpredictability, and range control. He fights loose and relaxed, constantly switching stances and angles, spinning attacks, jumping strikes, sudden elbows. Jung is pressure and durability. His boxing is clean and confident. Sharp jabs, straight punches, and hooks that land consistently.
From the opening seconds, Rodriguez is just something different. Made it clear that this wouldn't be an ordinary fight. How am I knock them out and all them thing there?
No hesitation. They fought like men who were willing to risk everything for victory.
Every exchange carried danger.
Every second mattered.
and some of them spinning kick them, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Just like windmill, innit?
Yeah.
Coming like windmill, man.
And his opponent coming like the drunken master right now, him, I get beat up.
Using a variety of kicks, sharp high kicks and brutal low kicks. The low kicks were especially
nasty,
it's
loud
on impact and clearly felt. He attempted several takedowns.
It's like if you're watching... I'm saying that, if you're due to fight that Rodriguez, and you know like how boxers will kind of like look at footage of their opponent. I mean, imagine if you're fighting that dude, Rodriguez. I mean, when you see some of them style and pattern, or him a lift up foot and, you know, side kicking at the jab one.
And them kind of windmill kick there, isn't it?
It's a dangerous sport.
It is a very it is. When you step in that arena, you know. It's war, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you've got to come from a certain part to participate in that.
Yeah, you do.
And your brain have to be wired up different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To say, this is what I like, this is what
this
I want to do.
This is what I'm about.
I want to go into combat because I want to brook up Smaddy.
That's right.
In that game... I know they say in boxing, it's not a game. You can't, you know, it's just one-on-one, you can't hide. But what I can say in boxing is that we know that the most amount of fights have been fudged. You know, when you see a fight and you think, I didn't get that.
And it
spoils it.
And you think, oh, really, he should have won that.
And I'm not saying in UFC that they can't fudge it up still, but it's all there for people to see. Do you know what I mean? And that, some of them, how them kicks are landing, and them, you know, our double scissor and all them stuff there, you know what I mean? It's different. So I think I'd take a rain check if I were due to fight that guy, you know what I mean? Because I'd be saying no thanks.
Yeah, because
he's belt there.
He's very,
in dangerous.
He's very mobile, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely. He's a dangerous smaddy that boy there, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But
coming like them dentists in it just put you asleep in it. You know what?
Yeah, man.
You know the elbow. Poof,
I'm
put you asleep.
I'm with you on that. You know, definitely. I mean, from I don't generally do this, but I just feel that this is a story where I'd like to kind of share with the people out there, our listeners. Let's listen to what this guy's got to say.
People ask me about it and I'd like to... I can't remember being in Australia. It's like there's like nothing in that period. It's just there. Think of your head as a...
I don't recognise this guy, me.
Camera. You're taking stuff in, but this SD card's damaged. There's nothing in the memory bank, that's gone.
Steve Thompson, fond memories, really looked after me. He recognised that something was wrong. He went for tests and it came back that he'd been diagnosed with early onset dementia. I'm going to sit down with Steve and I want to know how he's doing. What is his relationship like with rugby?
2003, you win a World Cup. Can you recall any of it if you were to watch it, or would it still feel very much like, that's me running around?
Right, so I'm picking up this rugby guy has got dementia.
Yeah, that's right.
Through rugby.
Through contact. Yeah.
What training have looked like in the early 2000s?
Well, you think now they've turned around and said they should try and limit contact training to 15 minutes. We were doing two training sessions a day, and some of it would go on for hours. Just knocking out of each other to the point people knocked out and they'd sort of go, oh, let's just move that over there while they sort themselves out. You know, one training session we had like 100 scrums.
Wow.
And you just, it's like
you were saying about live scrums, you did 100, you said it's like,
and then you'd sort of just, do you mean, you think all that pressure, everything going through there,
and you think to yourself, what are you actually getting out of that?
When did you first recognise that you weren't feeling yourself, or started to understand that you may have symptoms? Was there a particular time where you thought, hang on a minute, I'm not quite right here?
You know, when you're in your early 40s and suddenly you're forgetting stuff, it comes out that I've got a brain injury. As a dad, you want to be like you're the strong one, and all of a sudden you're in bits, you're all over the place, you can't sometimes get out of bed. When I was younger, I was one of those people, if someone kills herself, what's that all about? When you're there, you start thinking it's the best thing for everyone else.
You're part of the litigation that's taking the unions, World Rugby and all them unions to court in terms of the lack of care around concussion and how you looked after. Can you shed light on that?
Do I want it to go to court? And no, I don't really. No one does. No one really wants to be in this position, but people need to be held accountable. There's just people out there that got blood on their hands.
Yeah. So, you know, that was Steve Thompson. Which, you know, the Premier clubs have agreed to regulate contact training. A major breakthrough for the Rugby Players Association, which is the RPA. So he's saying that there's been recommendations to limit contact in rugby, in training, 15 minutes.
Right.
So he's saying that, you know, they've been kind of training for hours, and people within that time, he's seen players who have been knocked out.
Right.
And they've said, yeah, just put them over there while they sort that out, and we'll continue and then we'll do the next phase of play. This is what I want you to do. While man and man have just been probably rolling
Van
grass until they come round. So not taking the proper care and all that kind of stuff. So there's a bit of a group of them taking the people above to court to get, you know, which can only be compensation because they haven't been looked after, you know. So after years of lobbying from the players' union, clubs will now share data around contact training with detailed scrutiny of any concussion suffered. So all them man, they will be knocked out and that, their name will be on the list.
Yeah, they can make a claim then.
Yeah. Right. So there will be a staggering return to contact for international players following their 5-week summer break, which will lessen the load on England's top stars. Players will also be required to wear instrumental mouth guards during contact sessions in the week rather than just during matches, you know? I mean, I can't really imagine a player not wanting to put in a mouth piece during training.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Well,
you
know, I understand that. Even the head guard thing.
Yeah.
I don't understand why you won't wear one of them head guards.
Definitely.
It's for your safety.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because some of them tackles, when you go in, they're not joking.
Yes. So the RPA has been working hard to produce the first changes of this kind relating to the training environment globally. The organisation's General Secretary, Christian Day, said, you know, these changes will allow us to be better identified when contacting, in occurring, understanding what the players are experiencing on the training fields, and to be better protected all players as they return after their off-season break. You know, England World Cup winner Thompson was being diagnosed with early onset dementia, which he attributed to the repeated brain trauma suffering during his rugby career. He's almost, you know, those to have called for a dramatic change of the amount of contacts in training. And quite, you know, quite rightly so.
What I don't get is, don't you think, right, you're training, aren't you?
See it there?
You'd think to yourself, we've got to take it easy, right? But I'm only picking up from what you said. They were going in full pelt.
Yeah, but I mean, it depends on the coach, innit? And you know, I relate it to football as well, because I remember reading an article from Neil Warnock when he took over at Sheffield United. And he said to them, right, get your shin pads on.
Okay.
So he told the players to get the shin pads on. Right. So that's like saying, we're having contact.
Yeah, we're playing, yeah.
Full pelt.
Yeah.
While some will kind of back off and just, you know, limit the amount of contact, you know, because they want the full squad there for the weekend, for the games, you know. So I think it just depends on the coach. But if you can remember, he's saying, do you know what? Let's limit it in training. 15 minutes. Just, I mean, that will ease off in training. But when they play matches, there's no easing off. So you still got that element of danger there, you know? I mean, you know, who's called it 15-minute? Limited to 15-minute, you know what I mean? You know, so that's kind of like, wow. And then, you know, he's saying that he used to train for hours, you know. So he's saying that in one training session, they had over 100 scrums. That seems hard
to
believe.
That's a lot, yeah, it's a lot.
That's overload, isn't it?
That's a lot, that.
That's overload, that. So because of that, they're saying, you know, there's been a lack of care from the authorities. And what about that for a statement? You know, some of them have got blood on their hands. You know?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, let's put that in. What does that mean? Let's put that in a code word. So something like, why Bluey would have blood on him hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean, I'm saying?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Let's call the not the code red, code blue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My blood on him on and he has to be eliminated.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Systematically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or remotely. Yeah. Or instantly.
Lord, you know? God.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Wall up now. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. Oh, order.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know?
Me love them. Me love them little counter action.
And directly.
Yeah.
See another one there. Get that out of me back pocket.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Yeah, 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 yeah. Love that. Love that.
Yeah. So, initiatives, yeah, is to, you know, lower the tackles. Yeah. So you're talking about below waist height. You know. So they're looking to maybe that's gonna be a big change, because that would limit the kind of like the head injuries.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If they say you can only tackle waist or below, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
yeah. So if you can imagine, what's that gonna look like in a game? You know, and all for the scrum. You know, like now, it's like they seem to get down and poof. You know what I mean? So it's the impact. The force. So they're looking to reduce the force, you know what I mean, and set it up properly, and you know, rather than a big kind of collision, and then you know, more education around you know, more education and more technology or advanced technology used. So when, you know, people have got head injuries and stuff, maybe assess it and, you know, let them take them the time out and all that kind of stuff as well. You listen to Sweet Talkers, but I've got CV in the studio. We're live. It's 18:39, you know. And, yeah, if you've missed, you know, the show from the beginning, you can catch it, you know. Just Google kind of like Sweet Talking Sport and you'll find it. on the system, you know, 93.2. Jesse Lingard, yeah, I wanna talk about this dude for a little bit. He's now looking to play his trade in all parts of the world. So we're talking about in Brazil now. They are Brazil. Lingard.
I've heard. He's playing for Corinthians, isn't he?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
You know? And I worry about Jesse because, you know, Kai, he's a brother, you know? One off the way, one.
Yeah, he's a travelling brother, though, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's a travelling.
And the thing is, he's had his kind of like ups and downs as well.
Yes.
In the past.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So, depression, anxiety during his time at Man United. And he's been on record to say one of his most recent best times was... And I thought, yeah, he's right, this, because I can remember
West Ham.
Yeah, they went to West Ham and they were burning up there.
They was even looking at the calling him back into the England squad.
Yeah, but it didn't come. But he was on fire. He got his head sorted out and this, that, and the other. Played some good football. But he was saying that it come on top when his mother, you know, had to kind of take a step back, and she had to deal with kind of like mental health issues as well. So Jesse was saying that he had to bring up 11-year-old sister and his brother, 15 at the time, and trying to balance and deal with his own mental health. That's not good. It's not a very good kind of like combination. You know what I mean? But yeah,
something has to give, doesn't it?
Yeah, man, definitely. Lingard opened up on that because in 2023, he was on Steve Bartlett's show, The Diary of a CEO. I'm not sure if you've seen that before, but Bartlett's wicked. You know what I mean? It's good. It's a good thing. So Lingard was on there, basically saying that I would start drinking to take the pain away. A lot of people tend to think that drink's the answer to that, but all that is just drowning your sorrows. You know what I mean?
And then one problem becomes the next problem.
Yeah,
it adds to
you know
it,
what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So anybody out there needing a little bit of help, you know what I mean? Seek help, talk up, you know? Book in somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it helps there. But with what I'm picking up about this move to Brazil, to Corinthians, if it doesn't go right, the fans will turn upon him because they're unforgiving out there, you know what I mean? And there's been some big stars what have been there in the past. I mean, every time Corinthians unreveal a big signing, a siren sounds at the social club headquarters, yeah,
a siren,
yeah, them bust a siren,
is it?
Yeah, to say, yo, you know, we've got this man through the door or in the building,
right?
Yeah, so they said that, you know, and they've had some greats, like I said, Socrates, Rivaldo, Tevez, Ronaldo, you know, and Memphis Depay.
Yeah, Memphis. Oh, yeah.
So,
who played for United, didn't he?
Yeah. So, this is what, when the deal was going on behind the scenes, Lingard said that he did phone the pay, and he said he didn't even wait for anything. He just jumped on the plane. So you can imagine that conversation with Memphis Depay and Lingard. So Lingard will say, yo, Memphis, I hear so that, you know, Brazil is calling me. Corinthians want to sign me. What do you reckon? And they'll be saying, yo, I'm telling you, Rio Janeiro and then Pandem Beach in São Paulo and all them players there, get yourself over here, Jesse, and join the party. So you can imagine Jesse's face just light up. Like November the 5th, You know what I mean? Fear just light up and say, yo, I'm coming on that next flight. I want some of that. You know what I mean? So, you know? So if Jesse just thinks that it's just blue sea and sandy beaches and, you know, them kind of like cocktail on the beach.
Yeah.
He might get a little wake-up call.
Yeah, because it's not that.
And that, because that siren might be ringing in his head.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, he signed a contract until the end of the year, with the possibility it could be extended until the end of 2027. I doubt it, me, with what's been going on in the background, you know? So Lingard had offers from other clubs, but after a quick call, like I said, from his brethren, Depay, there was no doubt about his decision. He had a flight booked even before verbal agreement was in place.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
You know what them said? Bird fly too fast.
Yeah.
Miss them nest, as my mother would say.
He wasn't joking then, really.
See it there?
Yeah. He wasn't joking.
Yeah. So Lingard saying, listen, this is a unique
opportunity,
experience.
Isn't it?
Come on, opportunity.
Yeah.
Fit play a ball.
Yeah.
You know? You know? I mean, not only that, because, like I said, Lingard is, what, he's 33-year-old now and becomes the first English footballer to feature in a Brazilian top flight. Fourth at 33. You know what I mean? So, you think, with how many dupes, top dupes, they generally go to Italy, Spain.
Yeah, the European countries.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't get many Europeans going across to Brazil.
Yes. So
you get it the other way, where the Brazilians will come across. And a lot of the times when the Brazilians come across, they go to Portugal.
That's true.
Because for the simple reason, they speak the same language.
Yes. So, there's got to be something why, I mean, at 33, why he's only the first one.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So whether them say, listen, I wouldn't bother if I was you.
Mm.
Because, I mean, we know say the mafia large out there, so too. And, you know, gunshot are flying all them something there. So if he was on the beach and capture the wrong cocktail,
mm-hmm,
he may not hot water, Rasta.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He may not hot water.
Yeah.
So let's hope it is footballing reasons and he represents, he shows up. You know what I mean? Yeah? You know, because when that black and white team, you know, remember they beat Chelsea 1-0 2012 in the International Cup final. 40,000 supporters travelled to Japan. So they show up them. And they've also kind of raised, what, 6 mil through a crowdfunding campaign to help the club pay for their stadium. How many fan base would have raised that? 6 mil.
That's a lot of money.
6 mil.
That's people, that's the fans, everybody putting in, you know.
Yeah. That's woolly, that. Everybody in it. You know what I mean? You know? So, Jesse Lingard. I mean, but some people are questioning the signing. So some big dupes are saying, that's kind of strange. You know what I mean? You know? So, better players in Brazil, some are saying, and these are ex-players, or even abroad, there are players who will cost less, you know, and work out the same, you know, argued former Internash, you know, one of their defenders. And also, Pereira, Mauro César Pereira, one of the most respected local pundits in Brazil, said he's been away from most of the competitive level for a long time. I don't know how much he'll really add to Corinthians. It's a strange kind of signing. Lingard can be, you know, a certain that the fans will be behind him as he faces the initial scrutiny. You know what I mean? So they'll probably big him up at first, but if he's not producing,
yeah, you know what's going to happen,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah,
you know what's going to happen.
They will turn upon him.
Oh, of course they do.
I don't believe that he will be
there long.
In Brazil long. Come 2027. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know? But, you know, good luck to Jess. Good luck to him. From one kind of sport to another, I'm going to just, like, sneak into the NBA, you know, a special play. We're going to talk about, of course, LeBron James. Yeah? Who surpassed Abdul-Jabbar, the most field goals scored in NBA history, as the Los Angeles Lakers lost at the Denver Nuggets on Thursday. James scored 16 points for the Lakers in their 120-113 defeat and passed Jabbar's total of 15,837 during the first quarter. James, 41, you know, was playing unprecedented 23rd NBA season, passed Jabbar to become the top scorer in the NBA history, February 2023.
You can't believe that guy is 41, you know.
And still busting it.
And still performing.
You know?
And when I say performing, it's not like little pretense business. He's performing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
At 41.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, my push down there, look at you there.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And my do theme dunk and all them something that, yeah, my man's still producing.
100%, you know? He says, like, goes on to say, being mentioned with some of the greatest to play the game has always been humbling, said James, the league's four-time most valuable player. You know, he grew up, you know, watching, reading, you know, idolizing a lot of the greats. And if he was able to be part of the NBA, I wanted to put myself in that position that I can be named with some of the greats by doing something right. Mm-hmm. And too right as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, celebrate the wins, you know? Celebrate them, yes. 1856, running out of time, so we'll jump into the championship. We start with Sheffield United. They're at home to West Brom. Sheffield United 13th in the league, West Brom 21st. On paper, they say United should win this one, but no games won on paper. I mean, I do kind of worry, and I had this conversation with you the other day, that with Cooper out of the way now, wrote off for the season, United have got to use their reserve keeper, Adam Davis, who's obviously not as strong. That's why he's the number two.
Yeah.
And he's been number two
for some
since
years.
Morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not just for Cooper, but for any other keeper.
Yeah.
He's always been the number two.
He's never really took that number one spot, has he?
Yeah.
Because remember, he was number two behind Henderson.
Yes, that's right. And wow, look how long ago that was.
Yeah.
And still in Adesian players.
Yeah.
You'd have thought, you know, at his age, his career, he'd want to be number one. Maybe in, like, League One, you know, he could keep the sticks with a team. I mean, like that's where Wednesday going to be next season. You know what I mean? And they might be looking for a keeper. It might even just go across the city and put down blue and white, you know? But I think as United fans, we've always said, United need a reserve keeper. They need somebody to push Cooper.
They do.
And they've never pushed that button, and now they find themselves in that hot water. So if that defence can be strong, you know, but yeah, even if they win tomorrow, get 3 points, I can't see them now getting into that top six. It's too much. You know, it's just,
to be fair,
where can they finish?
As you quite rightly said, there's too many teams in front of them.
Yeah.
You need a lot of teams in front of them to go on a disastrous run. It's just too many. So, it's as you quite rightly said, it's how high can they finish up?
Mm-hmm. True.
Because aren't they now aren't looking at doing the playoffs, the top eight?
Not for this season.
Oh, is it next season, is it?
Yeah, but not for this season.
Right.
I think that's just a proposal, but again, they're looking at the car and they're looking at the big picture. But yeah. To be fair, if it was eight, I'd disagree with that, me. I just think that it gets a bit silly.
Yeah, it is.
Do you know what I mean? You know?
Next minute, it'll be top 12.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
You know what I mean?
And then it'll be half if you're finishing in this half.
Nah.
Do you know what I mean? Imagine that just just scraping into eighth on goal difference.
And then getting promoted.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Going down a Wembley and getting promoted. See, and you finish eighth.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, yeah, that's not a good thing for me, that really. Mm. But, you know. And can remember, United had Ben Godfrey there for a little bit, didn't they? On loan from Atlanta. I believe his wage was about 60K. But obviously United won't be paying that. You know what I mean? So Godfrey's kind of come clean now. He's playing his football in Denmark. And basically what he's saying, he went from Atlanta to Ipswich, played 3 games there, they binned him. Played 4 games at Sheffield United, they binned him, send him back. But I was saying to people who are sitting here, he's got things going on behind the scenes, we don't know what they are. And he's come clean, he said, at that time, I had things going on behind the scenes.
Okay.
And it was difficult, you know. And he said, you know, from time to time, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Hence a loss of form, you know. And he said, to be fair to United, they told him straight that he don't feature in their plans. But let's hope that, you know, he can get some game time in Denmark with Bromby. That's where he is now.
Not a bad side as well.
Yeah, not too bad at all. 1856. So I think, I think United will win. But, you know, I can't see them climbing up high. Derby County entertain the Owls. Derby at 8th. Again, can't see the Owls picking up anything from down there apart from a call.
That's right.
You know, that's the only thing they would get in Derby is a call.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So,
like it says, they're done, aren't they?
Yeah, them finito, them finish. Done, them finished.
That's right.
Yeah?
Yeah, just delete out them name out. You know what I mean? Delete it out, man.
Yeah. And the thing is as well, hear this now, about the takeover, they said them soon announce it. You know what I mean?
How long could it been announcing it?
Well, that... The one that they were supposed to announce...
That didn't come true.
Yeah, you know, like when you get a rubber and you just rub something out.
Yeah.
That's what they've done.
Yeah.
I believe that's what the insolvency people and all them something there, you know, them just buy a rubber from WH Smith and say, listen, this is, we're going to erase them from history. You know what I mean? So that get rubbed out. And now... Ashley's name's getting mentioned again.
Is it?
Yeah, and I like that cut what Simon Jordan did say, because Simon Jordan said that he put an offer in with a businessman from Sheffield, but they wasn't prepared to pay $15 million to Chancery.
Okay.
So they said, we're not paying that, see you later.
Right.
And he said that Ashley's come along, put £5 on the table and said, see it there, if you want it, take it. You know what I mean? So that's what Jordan said about Ashley. And they might have to go to Mike Ashley and take him, you know, take his couple of quid. You know what I mean? Because where else are they going to go? Because that wants some, like you said, liquor paint, some Dulux panit, and couple Sabutio Stan. Mm. You know them Sabutio Stan, them. Yeah, the one. Yeah, remember Red Gear?
Yeah, go down there.
Yeah, they need to kind of get a couple of stand and them floodlights where you put in battery.
And put a pitch pan board.
Yeah. Was he any good at Sabutio, by the way?
I still got it at my mother's yard, yeah.
With the green cloth.
Yeah. Now the flood and them floodlights.
Yeah, floodlight
we did have a couple team down there too.
Anyway,
you know, I talk about FA Cup tomorrow.
Well, we're running out of time. Well, 1859, but well,
we're up at Newcastle tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I expect Newcastle to win that tomorrow because I don't think City will play a strong side with them with them. They're playing Real Madrid on Wednesday.
Okay.
And Newcastle are playing Barcelona as well on Tuesday. So I don't know. But we'll see.
What kind of score? Will we get a score prediction from you?
I would say probably a 2-1 to Newcastle.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, probably.
I think City. I think City will go through. Well, you know what I mean? I think City will go through.
We'll see.
Well, listen, people, 1859 and counting. We've enjoyed it. I hope you have too.
Yep.
You know? And we'll see you again, because we're out of here.
Till next week. Bye.